Welcome to Trinity.
In the season of Thanksgiving, we're thankful that you've joined us today.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and welcome to those of you who are watching this at home as well. This is the 25th Sunday after Pentecost, and when we get into this portion of the church year, these days after All Saints Sunday, we start to turn our attention to the end. The end of the church year, the end times, the second coming of Christ. And so you'll start to notice that in the theme of our hymns and our readings, that shift is being made as we think about what is to come. Also, this is Veterans Day weekend, and so thanks to Lori for playing some patriotic music. We will be recognizing our veterans in our prayers today, and we certainly give thanks to God for those who have served us in our nation's military. Our worship service today is going to follow Divine Service Setting 4, and you will find that beginning on page 203. I invite you to please stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to the intro and on the inside cover of the bulletin. The one who endures to the end, let Mount Zion be glad. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers. That you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The one who endures to the end. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O Lord, by your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Christ is surely coming, bringing his reward. Alpha and Omega, first and last and Lord, root and stem of David, brilliant morning star. Meet your judge and savior, nations near and far. The holy city, there they enter in, all by Christ made holy, washed from every sin. Thirsty ones desiring, all he loves to give, come for living water, freely drink. With God's people, praise his holy name, Father, Son, and Spirit, evermore the same. Hear the certain promise from the eternal home. Surely I come quickly, come, Lord Jesus, come.
The epistle reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 to 25. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," declares the Lord. "I will put my law on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through the flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we will use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 563, "Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for the sermon today comes to us from the epistle reading. It's the book of Hebrews, and this is a very interesting passage. Talks a lot about priests and sacrifices and blood. And we just sang, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. So it's really interesting connection that the writer to the Hebrews makes between the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament temple and the sacrifice, the one great sacrifice that Jesus has made for all of us. We are certainly giving thanks that it's Jesus' blood that gives us access to God's holy presence. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some of you might remember that it was about a year ago-ish that I introduced all of you to my good friend Floyd. And for those of you who might not remember, Floyd is not a person. Floyd is the name of my car. And if you want to know why, you'll have to, I guess, dig back through the Facebook archives and look up that sermon. I explained all of it that day. But Floyd and I have gotten to know each other a whole lot better lately because I've had more places to go in the car recently. Very thankful that all of the hospitals and nursing homes are open for visitors again. And so it's been good to get to know Floyd a little bit better. But as I've done so, I've realized that there are still some things, some features that Floyd has that I'm just not quite used to yet, or I guess still getting used to. And it's nothing really fancy, but the big thing is Floyd can do things that my previous vehicle couldn't do. When I upgraded to Floyd, we went from, an 07 Ford Edge, which that was actually the car I was driving in that sermon on the road in that video. That Edge, and I hit a deer about a year ago and totaled that car. So I jumped up 11 model years to a 2018 Taurus. And so there's just certain things that Floyd can do that the Edge couldn't do. So for example, I'm still getting used to the fact that I have, wait for it, a backup camera. Ooh, right? And that I can take my phone and connect it to the speakers using Bluetooth. See, I know that this is not really that exciting and it's not really new technology by any means, but I've never driven cars that have had this before. It's never been part of my car. And so lately, one of the features that I've really started to appreciate is something that I never thought I would appreciate, but it's the fact that I am driving a vehicle that has one of those keyless entry keypads on the driver's door. And I got to admit that before, I used to think, I'd see those on cars all around, and I thought that that was the most overrated car feature ever. Because I would think to myself, why in the world would I ever want to have to enter in a code in order to open my door, right? Why would I have to go through memorizing something and having to type in, a whole bunch of different numbers when all I have to do now is just hit the button on my key fob in my pocket and the car opens, right? Why would I ever want the code? But I have to admit, standing before all of you today, that I was wrong, okay? I'm willing to admit that I was wrong. I've been fully converted to the keyless entry, and here's why. There are so many times when I'm in and out of the car and my hands are full, right? Like, because maybe I've got a couple kids with me and I've got all their stuff, or if I'm at a shut-in visit, I got my Bible and I got my communion kit, and maybe one of these sweet little old ladies gives me, like a bag of goodies to bring home to my kids or something, right? And so my hands are full, and I used to have to juggle all of that stuff and then still find a way to get to the key fob in my pocket, right? Now, all I need is one finger, right? All I have to do is stick one finger out, and if I can hit the right button, the car door opens, and everything is good in the world. It's awesome. There was only one difficulty in this whole keyless entry thing. And for me, it was getting the code in the first place. I bought Floyd used, okay? So I didn't have any paperwork on what the original code was or what the previous owner had as a code or anything like that. And I was really frustrated about that. And I decided I was going to figure this out. So I looked up on YouTube how to find out what your code is. And I learned that it's on a sticker, which is hidden like way underneath like the steering wheel and the instrument panel and everything. I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to do it. So one day I was just out there on my back, on the ground, like in the driveway, in the parking lot between my house and the school, you know? And I'm on my back, and my head is down there near the brake pedal, and I'm looking around, and I can't see it, and I had to twist my body, like, into a pretzel, and I found that sticker. And I was thinking, you know, the 7th and 8th graders are in the classroom right there, and they looked at my house, and if they had looked down at that time, they must have thought something had gone horribly wrong. And they probably would have laughed at me too. But, you know, so I finally found the code. I found the code, and everything has been great ever since. Life is so much easier. So it's one thing to be given easier access to Floyd. But obviously, it's a much greater, much more important thing to be given direct access to the most holy presence of our Almighty God. And that is essentially the main takeaway from our epistle reading here today. The letter to the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is a really important and really fascinating book for a lot of reasons. It brings Christ to the forefront. Christ is at the center of that book. It is such a blessing to all who read it. But in order for us to really gain a great understanding of the book of Hebrews, we really have to do our homework. Because the author of the letter assumes that his readers have a really thorough understanding of Old Testament scriptures and all of the things that were really important and a big deal in the Israelite community going back literally thousands of years. So for us as Gentiles, as Gentile Christians and readers of the book of Hebrews, when we read through all of these things that the author is writing, we have to go back. We have to constantly flip back and make sure that we're familiar with all of this stuff, that we're familiar with, you know, concepts like the covenant that God made with Israel, and that we're familiar with all of Israel's history and the priests and the sacrifices and the Sabbath day, and the list goes on and on and on. And here in this passage today, if we fully want to grasp the meaning of this text, then we better have a pretty good understanding of the ancient temple that was in Jerusalem and the role that that building, that temple, played in the worship life of God's people, the Israelites. When you and I come to a building like this to worship, when we gather here like we are right now, we're used to thinking about our time of worship as being, you know, where God brings his gifts to us. This is the place where God serves us. That's actually why we call it a divine service. It's supposed to remind us that in Christian worship, God is the one who's giving, and we're the ones who are simply receiving all he has to give, right? It's God's divine service to us. But in the days of the Old Testament, worship in the temple was completely flipped the other way around. The people came to the temple to worship God, to serve God, and really to try to appease him, to appease his wrath and anger over all of their sins. They didn't really actually want to get into God's presence, because that would be really scary for them. They knew that they were an unholy people, and they knew that God was a holy God. And so they knew that being in his presence meant that they were going to be destroyed. They didn't want that. And so instead, when the people came to worship at the temple, they went instead to the priests. And the priest served as like a mediator between God and man. The priests did everything that they were supposed to do, everything that they were taught to do. They did all these sacrifices over and over and over again, morning, noon, and night, tons of sacrifices. They put in all of that maximum effort. They basically like twisted themselves into a pretzel in order to try to get the keyless entry code into heaven. They figured that if they put in all of that effort, that God would show them his grace and his favor and his forgiveness. And yet, look at what the first verse of today's reading says. It says, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So it's a lot of effort. Like I said, maximum effort, but not a lot of results. Certainly nothing that would be long-lasting. And then later in the reading, there's a reference to the holy places. Talks about the curtain. You might remember that the most holy place in the temple was located in the innermost part of the temple. That was the place where God's presence was found. No sinners were allowed in that space. In fact, that's why there was a curtain. It's a really big, thick, heavy curtain to make sure that nobody would accidentally enter into the presence of God and be destroyed. There was only one exception to that. There was one person, one day a year, the high priest on the Day of Atonement, which is also known as Yom Kippur. That priest would actually venture behind the curtain on that one day. He was allowed to go in on that one day to be in God's direct presence. And in order to do that, he had to bring the blood of the atonement sacrifice and sprinkle that blood onto the Ark of the Covenant. So if you think about it a certain way, that blood, that special sacrificial blood that the high priest carried with him, is kind of like the key fob in my pocket, you know, in the sense that it's the thing that gives you limited access to God's direct presence, just, you know, the one day a year. And for many years, that's how it was. So people would have been pretty content with that, or at least they thought they were. They would say, why should I want to be in Yahweh's presence when the high priest can do it for me? I'll just keep bringing my sacrifices to the temple. I'll just keep praying that the Lord has mercy upon me. But of course, God had a better idea. God had a much greater plan that would provide not just more convenience for God's people, but also would bring a much greater blessing. And so the second half of this reading reminds us about the sacrifice of Jesus and how the sacrifice of Jesus makes every other earthly sacrifice absolutely just pale in comparison. Right? So I think about if jumping up 11 model years in a vehicle seems kind of like a blessing, right? In this passage, we're talking about jumping from one testament to the other. We're jumping from the Old Testament to the New Testament. When Christ died on Good Friday and shed his blood, you might remember this, that big, thick temple curtain was torn in two. That barrier between God and his people was cut in half. You see this in the reading. It says, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. In that moment, Jesus gave you and me direct access, the keyless entry code to get into heaven. We don't have to fumble around with, you know, the keys in our pockets anymore. We don't have to fumble around looking for all the good works and all the bloody animal sacrifices. And we don't need to get down on our back with our heads down next to all the dirt and the rocks and the old French fries looking for this code. We don't have to do that anymore. But instead, because of Jesus, we can actually do what it says right here in verse 22. It says, we can draw near with a true heart to God. We've been washed clean. We've been made worthy by faith in Jesus Christ. His righteousness has been placed upon us, and that means we can stand in his holy presence and not be destroyed. And the reading ends with this idea that we're going to have an opportunity to stand in that presence. And that opportunity is going to come for all of us on the last day. The last verse says, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So during these Sundays in November, when we're getting close to the end of the church year and we're thinking about the end of the world, the end times, and we're listening to the men's choir sing, Christ is surely coming. In the midst of all of that, knowing that we are going to stand in the direct presence of the most holy and almighty God, there is nothing for us to be afraid of. Being in the presence of Jesus at his second coming is an opportunity to be filled with joy. Just like it's joyful for us to be in his presence right here in church. Just like it's a joyful thing for us to go to God in prayer directly. Just like it's a joy for us to come here and receive the Lord's Supper at his altar, to receive the body and blood of Christ, to be in God's direct presence. This is God's divine service to you. This is where heaven and earth meet, where the holy place, the most holy place, is no longer in some temple in Jerusalem. But instead, God's most holy place is within your heart, where the Holy Spirit dwells, where the doors of heaven are opened wide to you, not because of a code or a key fob, right? But only because of the blood of the Lamb. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In our prayers today, we do have a number of updates and announcements for you. We continue to lift in prayer John Seifert, who's going to be having his upcoming procedure to place stents in his leg and possibly his heart as well. Also, we will be praying for, we continue to pray for Fran Burmester, that is a friend of the Brink family. We have learned that Fran has now, at this point, lost his vision, but he is feeling well. Thanks be to God. Today, we will also include Daryl Mashoff. Daryl tested positive for COVID-19 recently, so we'll certainly ask God to be with him. And also, not listed in your bulletin, we have the addition of Jacob Wacker. He was in a really bad car accident, unfortunately lost his arm because of that accident, but we are going to pray for his recovery from this point forward. And finally, we received word that Jeanette Rinkensmeyer Heil, which is the aunt of Susie Robbins, she passed away on Thursday, so we'll certainly lift Susie and her family in prayer today. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. We thank you, O Lord, our God and Father, for all your goodness. We praise you especially for the everlasting covenant you have made with us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that every good work we do would be pleasing in your sight for his sake. Lord, in your mercy, preserve your church throughout the world and keep us ready at all times for your Son's glorious return. Lead us to proclaim with zeal his coming to the ends of the earth. Bless all pastors and ministers that they may preach the pure doctrine of God's saving word, which will never pass away. Give faith to all who hear, that in Christ they may have the peace that passes all understanding. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation Olive Branch in Frogtown. Bless Pastor Drinnen and his wife Katrina as they make their transition to St. Paul Lutheran in Bourbonnais. And bless the upcoming vacancy and call process at Olive Branch, that they would be quickly led to the man you have chosen to be their next pastor. Lord, in your mercy, uphold all in authority, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this state, and all judges. Graciously enable them to lead according to your will and for our good. On this Veterans Day weekend, we ask that you would hold all veterans of the armed forces in your loving care. Thank you, Lord, for these men and women who have served this nation with bravery and honor. And be especially with those who are currently serving, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks, Holy Lord, for the fruits of the earth provided by your hand. Supply the needs of all who grow, process, and distribute our food, and move us to share these bountiful gifts with our neighbors in their time of need. If it be your will, continue to provide us with favorable weather and grant safety to those who work in the fields. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift of earthly life, and we rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays, including Taylor, Chesney, Alyssa, and Rachel. Help them to continue to grow in faith with each passing year. We also thank you for the gifts of marriage and family and ask you to bless those who are celebrating special anniversaries, including Dale and Shirley Campbell. Help them to reflect your love in their lives each and every day. Lord, in your mercy. Behold the sick, the dying, and all who are in need, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Art, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift John before your throne as he looks ahead to his upcoming procedure. We ask you to be with Jacob as he has survived this accident but has a long way to go in recovery. We pray that you'd be with him. And also all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Mike, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Beulah, Steve, Daryl, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Nina, Linda, Marvin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, and all those who are fighting cancer. Grant them healing of body and patience to endure their afflictions. Also be with all those who serve in the healthcare field. Give them safety and also joy as they fulfill their vocations and serve their patients. Finally, comfort those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Jeanette Rinkensmeyer Heil. With confidence in your resurrection promises and our upcoming heavenly reunion with all of our loved ones who have died in the faith, Lord, in your mercy, give repentance and faith to all who approach the altar at Christ's gracious invitation, that they may find favor in your eyes and receive his true body and blood for the salvation of their souls. Lord, in your mercy, grant these and all our petitions, O God, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will invite our ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand. We turn now to page 208 as we begin our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We continue now with the Nunc Dimittis, which is printed for you on page 211. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is 515, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers. We'll be singing that to a different tune, to the tune of the Day of Resurrection.
Thank you.
Good morning. Beautiful day that the Lord has given to us, and I know everybody's really hungry for sausage. The Worst Mart is underway as we speak. You can smell the smoke, and all of our tummies are grumbling right now. So I'll try to get through these announcements quickly, but hope you can join us for that special event. Of course, all of the money that is raised by the PTL goes to help support our school ministry, and that's a really important thing. A couple things going on. Tomorrow night, we'll have chimes practice here in the North Overflow Room. That's at 6 o'clock. And the mixed choir will be rehearsing on Wednesday at 6:30. Wanted to draw your attention to the trivia night, which is coming up. This is a YPS youth event as they are preparing for the National Youth Gathering next summer in Houston, Texas. And they are raising funds to be able to go on that trip. So there will be a trivia night, and that's on Saturday at 7 p.m. And we're hoping that if you haven't signed up, that you would sign up a team for that. We'd love to have you there, and that all goes to support the youth. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to myself or Kirk Meyer would be another person you could ask. Also, wanted to bring your attention. This is not in the bulletin, I don't believe, but some of you might remember that there was a PTL fundraiser recently where mums were sold, but in addition to the mums, there were some evergreens that were sold. If you ordered some holiday evergreens, those can be picked up this week on Tuesday between 3 and 5 p.m. Those will be available. So if you have evergreens coming, please come in and pick them up on Tuesday afternoon. Wanted to remind you that we do have our debt reduction Sundays coming up. So starting next Sunday and the week after that, we're asking for all of our members to prayerfully consider helping us to pay down our debt for 2021. And there's information about that in the bulletin. And also remembering that November is our month of thankfulness. Stewardship Board has been hard to work on the tree that's in the entryway, and I hope you can take a look at that. This week, we are highlighting our school ministry. Mr. Schaff has written a very nice note in the bulletin, so I wanted to make sure you all had an opportunity to read that and look at some of the fast facts of Trinity Lutheran School. That's on the last page of the bulletin today. Finally, I just wanted to have one more opportunity to recognize all of our veterans, since this is Veterans Day weekend. Could I please ask all of our veterans to stand if you are able? Would you please stand? Can we give thanks to God for all of these men and women? We give thanks to God for your service, and I asked Lori if we could do this, and she said it was okay. So could you please turn to hymn number 965? We're just going to sing a very short hymn of thanks. God bless our native land. Hymn number 965. Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it. Any other announcements today? All right. If not, it's time to go eat some sausage. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for worship today.
Please join us again next week.